Ulrich Kellerer has spent decades working in the fashion industry. As I mentioned earlier, he is now live with us on something that gave him an even deeper calling. He became a storyteller to the elderly. Ulrich, welcome to the Ed Till Show, Starcom Radio Network, all across America. Where are we speaking to you? Are you in Europe somewhere?
I'm in Europe now. Thank you for having me. I'm sitting here in Munich, in Germany.
Oh, in Munich, Germany. All right, beautiful. Connection is terrific. Thank you for being on the show today. So tell me, did you grow up as a kid around elderly relatives, or did you discover this magical thing that happens with the elderly recently? Tell me about how you got connected to them.
This was a story. My mother had an accident 4 years ago. She fell in her apartment, and then she had to have an emergency operation, which failed. She was paralyzed afterwards, and the doctors tried everything and tried 9 further senseless operation on her, and in the end she had to face the nursing home and never coming back in her apartment. The problem in the nursing home was that she claimed every second day for a single room, which is very difficult to get in Germany. And so I said, I'm a salesperson. So I worked on all events, spring, summer, Oktoberfest, and Christmas, and I served 200 people, bring you the coffee, take the coffee, clean the table. And she was upset and said, hey, you're a manager, you cannot do this. And then I had always this idea, writing a book. And I said, oh, I need an audience. So these people maybe will listen to me. So I invented a one-hour reading to them every Monday. And again, my mother was the biggest critic in the beginning and said, read louder, speak more clearly, take a glass of water. Who is she? She's my mother. And then I improved. You know, the first hour was awful. I was ready after 25 minutes, but yeah. Then I continue reading to them. And my mother finally got the single room, but she fell again, came to the hospital and died. And then there was a real thing for me, because the owner of the nursing home thought, my mission is done, he will not continue. But if people wait for you 30 minutes before the event is starting and tell you this is the best hour of the week, I could not stop. And then even a miracle happened, which I didn't recognize in the beginning. We had a holy mass in November for all the losses in the nursing home in the year, mm-hmm. and I went there with my wife, and they showed up with 51 candles in 52 weeks, an average of one person dying. And I thought back and thought, oh, I also had 4 losses in the first 6 months.
Right.
But then, after 2 years now, nobody died anymore, and the oldest one is 108.
What?
She saw the 108. She's the oldest woman in Munich. She saw the First and the Second World War, and they have a rule now and say, you cannot sit here with Mr. Kramer. And they show up, they dress up, they have a rule, they help each other, and they tell me this is the best hour of the week, which I say there must be something wrong in our society if it's that. But these people don't lie, because it's the last station. They never will come back in their apartment. And so they transformed me. I was working in the fashion industry 36 years and took care that people really look good on the outside. After this event, I take care that you feel good on the inside.
You know, there is a big lesson, I think, generationally in this story that you tell, right? It dawned on me when I heard you say the number 30 years. Did I hear that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, I'm thinking of my own age, right? I'm 61. I'm thinking back 30 years. And it's true. In the last 30 years, we have lost connection with lots of categories, but I think the elderly has had the worst 30 years ever. I think the average house has been emptied by divorce, remarriage, second divorce, third divorce. So families that they remember what a family used to be to them when they were at the head of the table, everybody's sitting at the same table, this kind of world, I think you and I needed very much. We did not realize it was so absent, and now when we experience it, it's overwhelmingly good for us because we need it now, but we really should have kept it for the 30 years that the elderly have been sequestered under, oh, Alzheimer's, dementia, it's all categories, but we never hear about individuals. You have struck gold here, have you not?
Yeah, I mean, I said this is a small thing. It's just 1 hour a week changed my life. It transformed me because these people gave me more back than I give to them. And then, you know, that I have friends that said, hey, you're still reading after 3.5 years every Monday? I said, every Monday. You could read the same old story from last year. They have dementia. I said, no. My challenge is to be better every Monday than last Monday. Right. And I'm just coming from the nursing home, and it's again Monday. And yesterday, on Sunday, I was not prepared. I was sitting again in my library, and I choose all the stories I will tell them. And they want to be entertained. They want to have fun. They don't want to hear stories about death or sickness.
No,
they just know that it's
right.
The last story.
So this is my question. Right. You got it. Mm-hmm. How do you choose what you read?
This is a funny story. I was a big fan of Jack Canfield, and I read all his books. And in the beginning, you know, this Chicken Soup for the Soul, these inspiring stories, they're all true, helped me so much because these people have only a concentration span of, let's say, 10 pages. Otherwise, they fall asleep. They cannot concentrate. I cannot read the big novels. I cannot. So I choose in the beginning the Chicken Soup for the Soul, and I had luck to meet Jack Canfield in person once in Philadelphia. He gave me a tip and said, Ulrich, if you want to write a book, you have to do the same what I did. You have to write Chicken Soup for the Veteran Soul, Chicken Soup for the Volunteer Soul, for the Sports Soul. So I said, check, I will write. It's all about fashion. It's all about religion. It's all about sport. He said, you got it. And then I applied for his book and became a co-best-selling author in his book, Soul of Success, which is a movie now out of his life work. And I'm a co-author and co-producent with him, and I'm still thank him for giving me the tip with the short stories, because he was refused 144 times because everybody told him short stories nobody's reading. And I say it's the contrary. We don't have this concentration span. And so you see the success of YouTube. People can only follow short things, and I'm just here to help them and entertain them. And I said, if only one is going more lucky to bed and is more happy than he was before, then my job is done. And they said in the beginning, oh, I'm not in the mood tonight. I'm really tired. And afterwards, they thank me and say, oh, it was the best hour again of the week. So they wait for me 30 minutes in advance. So as you see, it's a small thing, and I encourage everybody to do something to give back, because you can work in a kindergarten, we can work in a nursing home, we could do something for the refugees, or we could help the homeless. But this will transform us, because the average American German watches TV and computer and video 3 to 4 hours. These are 13 years of our life. 1 hour a week giving back to the parents that brought us to life, this is really a purpose we should live for.
Beautiful. And again, give us an example of what you read. Do you read anything of your own? Do you read classics? Where do you go to select?
I read from Mark Twain to Hermann Hesse. I have really a big range. And also, when I started writing my own book, I collected stories from them and said, everybody has a defining moment which changed your life. Where I said, for example, you meet the love of your life on a train station to Pittsburgh. You win in a lottery, or you get booked by Oprah, or you have a near-death experience, something like that. And then in the beginning, these old people told me, oh, Ulrich, we have only sad stories. We saw the Second World War, blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, 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 no. Since 3 years, I entertain you, and you laugh like tears if I tell you jokes. So you surely had also a love story when you was young. And so I started interviewing them, and it was not really fast. So I had to do it twice, and then I said, no, not only our parents and old people have experiences, also young people. So I expanded my interviews, and I interviewed young and old people I know, and my book is called One Moment Can Change Your Life, Extraordinary Stories from Ordinary People.
Great. Now, what did you read last time?
Last time, I read Secret Lens. I read Mark Twain,
Tell me about the Mark Twain. Tell me, I'm trying to get my listeners to see something exactly that you read. So in Mark Twain, what did you read for these lovely people?
I read mostly from Mark Twain, his quotes. So they also love quotes from Oscar Wilde till Confucius. They like things from Goethe till, and they also like authors out of their times. They tell me, please read stories when we was younger, or please say something when the city was 50 years ago. So I just connect with them, and we have an interaction. And afterwards, we talk about the stories. And today, in the beginning, when I was reading tonight, the lady said, Ulrich, do you have something? Now it's Christmas time. I said, yes, I'm well prepared. I have five stories for Christmas, because tomorrow we have a Christmas party in a nursing home. And
beautiful.
I will be there and helping.
You got it. Now, what Christmas story do you have for them?
I have Christmas stories from Peter Rossecker, if you know him, and I have Christmas story also where really they were young in their childhood, when really the kids were so excited when the Christmas tree was brought and things like that. So really stories, not the old and new things. They don't want to hear about cell phone and computers. They want to hear a little bit more romantic, as it was in the former times. So I bring them back to their youth.
Nice. Very nice. Congratulations on this. So, do you have some recommendations for our listeners to use as good readings that they can do for the elderly and their family?
Yeah, I think they should read some poets like Hermann Hesse is really a good thing to take for them. Also, Goethe in German is very, very well known. And also, I would recommend to really look for under short stories, because really, I tried once in the beginning to read longer stories. Does not work. They fall asleep, and then they're really out of concentration. So
you know,
really
it does sound
stories.
Right. It does sound crazy that Goethe would be entertaining to read. Same thing with Hermann Hesse. I don't hear, when I read Hermann Hesse, I didn't laugh out loud. I didn't feel joyful. Are we sure we're reading the right things? Goethe and Hermann Hesse sounds heavy. Do you read anything? When you said Mark Twain, I like that, but you know, that's old. That's so, he's been dead a long time. Do you read anything modern and uplifting?
Yeah, I have also I have some authors like Jan Weiler. I don't know whether you know him, but also I have to tell you that they also like the brother Grimm. They all like these old stories.
Got it.
Because
Got
they
it.
Know them. They
right.
was read to them when they was younger,
right.
And then sometimes even they know how the story goes further. So they just act into the story sometimes. So this is good.
This is really, you know, I didn't that didn't dawn on me right away, but it just dawned on me. At that age, they are like little children. This is exactly the little bit. This is the little. Yeah, exactly. Like little children. So children love to hear stories they are familiar with. Tell me that again. Tell me that again is exciting. I bet you they're having some of that, aren't you? Aren't they? They're experiencing some of that childlike experience.
Yeah, and tomorrow, if you would be there, you would see, it was strange for me in the beginning on the event. So they have really, let's say tomorrow, they have Christmas song, and we have it on the carnival. And they're singing, and in the beginning I was a little shocked and say, oh, how is it that these old people sing songs from, but then they really have joy in their eyes, and they're singing and swinging, and then I found that they're really enjoying it. And if they're enjoying it, then everything is okay, because sometimes it seems a little bit strange if they follow the story or if they sing, but no, there is still something in their hearts to remember and say, hey, there was something when I was happy and I had all this love and everything. So you just have to ignite again a little bit in them, because they are so grateful, really, and they are so very well educated. I wished that we could have this in other generations too.
Well, we got to be careful here. The reason they're alone is because our generation bailed out on them. America led the way, but Europe has been a co-conspirator in diminishing the aged and warehousing them. And only now can someone like you go, oh, look how great they are, because we never should have separated them out, right? We used to have, again, this is America and Europe, right? The building block of our greatness was one man, one woman, marriage, their own in-laws, their own grandchildren, and these poor people that you are with now, thank God they have you, because typically the elderly have been deprived of all this. This is not how modern Europeans and modern Americans live. A modern European and a modern American have been cruel to these people for so long. God bless you for going back to save them.
As a small example I can be, and I also encourage students and people there retired and say, I'm so boring, can nothing. So I collected the stories the last 3.5 years and said, you can come with me, I will help you try it. Because, you know, as a volunteer, you always can stop. So if you say, oh, tomorrow I'm so busy, you can stop, but you will not. Because these people transform you. You get more out of it than them, and they wait for you. And then there is another story. When we was in the United States, my wife wrote really old-fashioned postcards to them, and the 107-year-old at that time told me, hey, you sent me a postcard from New York. This was the first postcard in my life. And they have it now in their rooms, and they have it on their wheelchairs. And even in the nursing home, the people told, hey, you wrote postcards. I said, postcards? This is nothing, but this is just a thought. A small thing, but tell them. And when I'm going to my interviews in the States or something like that, I always say, I'm now out for 1 week. The only promise you have to give me, be there when I'm coming back. We will. You know, I mean, this is not a big deal. But I feel we all can start with something small, and then it will transform us, and we give back to the world. And really, as you said before, it was our problem not taking care of this generation.
That's it.
They did so much for us.
Absolutely. This is why they have such an appetite for this. So again, I have to say, God bless you that you are there repairing the damage millions and millions of 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds have done to these people. They've really done them a disservice, and you, I'm sure, are the highlight of their life once a week with this. I'm wondering now, I'm going to ask you, are you working on an entire book after writing this chapter in Jack's book? Are you going to write your own book?
My book is ready. I'm just dealing with a publisher, so it can be out when the publisher is ready to take it.
Awesome.
So the book is absolutely ready for American market and the German market.
Can't wait. Beautiful.
To come back only for the beginning, because that was a selfish reason when I started volunteering. It was really, in the beginning, it was only that I said, I have to do something that my mother does not always claim for her single room. But then, you know, you start something, you try it out, you see these people, and then you have your success, and you got the single room, but then they wait for you. And you give them a little bit more than hope, because they're really funny. They're handicapped in one another way. They're not hearing very well. They're mostly in a wheelchair, but still, inside their eyes, there is really sparkling, and they really have fun and telling jokes, and so they just want to be part of something. And I said, everybody can try it out. So 1 hour a week is not too much, and really, we should not, as you said before, lock this generation in a nursing home and just giving them a room. We have to give them even our heart.
There you go. Wow, said so beautifully, Ulrich Kellerer. You'll find a chapter by him in Jack Canfield's book, The Soul of Success. Ulrich's chapter drew metaphoric wisdom and life lessons from his decades in the fashion industry. He called it All About Fashion. There is no second chance for your first impression. Ulrich Kellerer on the Ed Till Show, direct with us today from Munich, Germany. Ulrich, thank you for your time. We look forward to having you back on the show.
Thank you very much, Ed, for having me. Wish you a Merry Christmas and all your audience. Thank
Indeed.
You.
Indeed. Same to you. All my different languages. Oh, Feliz Navidad. There's my Spanish. Absolutely.